Afghanistan, a country mostly associated with war, occupation, homelessness, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and drugs.
Et l'Afghanistan, n'en parlons pas. Je crois que les Anglais sont déjà cassés les dents en Afghanistan au début du 20e siècle, après les Russes, maintenant les Américains. Je crois que c'est un peuple qui ne se sera jamais dompté.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
In Afghanistan, c'è una situazione in cui ora gli Stati Uniti, dopo molti anni di guerra, devono cercare una via di uscita e devono farlo trattando con i talebani.
If you see even 20 years ago, or if you see now, they have the same attitude. They may change now because they realize every time they come to a country and they stay in the country, they lose.
The Great Challenge, Afghanistan.
This mosque was built in 1428 by Shahrukh, the son of Tamerlane.
Where things are still the same as they were thousands of years ago. We're now in the city of Ghazagah. And this is an ancient historical place. I don't know how many years ago.
The building, the shrine?
Yeah.
506 years ago.
Why don't you explain a little bit about this place and tell your name?
My name is Mir Muhammad Azan, it's okay?
Yes, it's okay.
And this is very good village. Here has 500 houses. 1,000 people live here. Here is holy place. If one man kills other man, he comes from the city to here. The policeman cannot catch him, just like sanctuary. But a lot of criminals here now. But this is the tomb of Ansari, we can go inside the mosque.
Afghanistan, a country mostly associated with war, occupation, homelessness, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and drugs. This southwestern Asian country has witnessed bloodshed and conflicts more than any other country in the world. It's also paid the price for being located in the Middle East as a rich region for more than 200 years.
Your Majesties, it's a great pleasure for me on behalf of the people of the United States to welcome you to this country for the first time. Even though Afghanistan and the United States are separated by a good many thousands of miles, by history, by culture, by religion, I do think, Your Majesty, that we share one great overarching conviction. And that is the strong desire of both of our peoples to maintain their independence, to live in freedom, and to look to the future with hope.
از پذیرایی‌گر و کلمات دوستانه که نسبت به من کشور من اظهار فرمودن که من امتنان دارم. در این فرصت که برای اولین بار در این کشور زیبای شما قدم می‌گذارم مسرت دارم که بهترین تمنیات خودم و مردم افغانستان را به جهالت ما به شما و به ملت نجیب بدین.
In the late 1970s, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, an invasion that led to the occupation of this country for a decade. After the withdrawal of the Soviet Union from Afghanistan and the breakdown of this powerful bloc, long years of the Cold War came to an end. But Afghanistan still held an important position. U.S. invasion of Afghanistan in October 2001, which took place after September 11th, under the pretext of containing terrorism, is a testimony to this fact.
At the beginning of the 20th century, the British found themselves trapped in a quagmire called Afghanistan. Then the Russians got stuck there, and now it's Americans' turn. Afghans are a very proud nation, and their country has a system quite different from that of the West. Whenever Russia or the US decided to interfere in Afghanistan's affairs, they had to put their foot in it in the end.
Toujours perdu par l'envahisseur.
With the emergence of communism, Afghanistan's importance increased in the eyes of both the US and the Soviet Union. For the Soviet Union, the dream of having access to the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz and dispelling the imperialist threat of the US would have been realized through this country. That's why the Soviets entered Afghanistan on April 27, 1978, with the help of Nur Muhammad Taraki's coup. After the 1979 revolution in Iran, the US lost its biggest regional ally and was afraid of seeing a similar revolution take place in Afghanistan. The Soviets' increased presence in that country had rung alarm bells for the US. Set against such a backdrop, the US contributed to establishing and arming the Mujahideen by exploiting the Islamic roots of the Afghans. The Mujahideen came to power apparently with the aim of freeing the country from the Soviets' domination, but in fact, they were to contain the power of communism and its extremism.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day because your fight will prevail, and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again because your cause is right and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis would be to make the Soviets bleed for as much and as long as is possible.
Do we know whether any Soviet units have reached these borders?
No. They're holding back.
They are holding back.
We started providing weapons to the Mujahideen from various sources again. Some, for example, some Soviet arms from the Egyptians and the Chinese. We even got Soviet arms from the Czechoslovak communist government, since it was obviously susceptible to material incentives. And at some point, we started buying arms for the Mujahideen from the Soviet army in Afghanistan, because that army was increasingly corrupt.
After the arrival of the Soviet troops in Afghanistan, which helped them get 1,000 kilometers closer to the warm waters of the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman, and the main oil route of the region, Carter said he would regard any attempt to reach the Persian Gulf and its oil as a threat to US interests, and that his country would answer with military action, if necessary.
The implications of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan
could pose a most serious threat to the peace since the Second World War. The vast majority of nations on Earth have condemned this latest Soviet attempt to extend its colonial domination of others.
I had to put restraints on the Soviet Union. One of them was to issue a public statement that if the Soviets did invade either Pakistan or Iran, or Iran out of Afghanistan, that I would consider this a personal threat to the security of the United States of America.
And not only did U.S. interests not come to an end, but they took another shape in the years that followed. The U.S. had to step in, this time to fight a child it itself had raised.
Si vous voulez, je vous ai décrit un cadre général, mais ce que je pense, c'est que le terrorisme a été le motif principal.
But safeguarding global security and fighting terrorism were the U.S. main excuses for being in Afghanistan. And thanks to Bin Laden, the excuses seem valid.
Contre le terrorisme, il fallait justifier.
Experts believe that terrorism was made up by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. The cooperation between terrorist groups and the Americans goes back to the time when the U.S. wanted to fight the Soviets' presence in Afghanistan. With their financial and military support, and with the help of Pakistan's intelligence ministry, they helped Muslim extremists fight with the Soviet Union.
Islamistes qui luttaient contre la présence soviétique.
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great.
Remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen. And that's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow because we will harvest.
No one could have conceivably imagined suicide bombers burrowing into our society and then emerging all on the same day to fly their aircraft, fly U.S. aircraft into buildings full of innocent people and show no remorse. And this is a new kind of evil. And we understand. And the American people are beginning to understand. Now, this crusade.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
Alright, you speaking out to the road?
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
Oh,
Roger, Ken. Roger.
It's wrong to say that attacking Afghanistan was aimed at destroying the Taliban. The purpose of the Americans was stabilizing their position in the areas that were under Russia's control. All the military bases that the US established in the former republics of the Soviet Union were to contain Russia further. And the US used the war in Afghanistan as an excuse to establish more military bases in the country.
Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan.
After the fall of the Soviet Union, Afghanistan turned into a passage for the US to get access to the newly independent republics and Central Asia. Dominating Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan is not only because of their energy resources. The whole region is like an American police station in the Persian Gulf. This is the viewpoint of Brzezinski, one of the greatest strategists and planners of US policies in Central Asia, expressed in his book, The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperatives.
They didn't want to let the Russians even dream of the re-establishment of the Soviet Union or a similar power. This is America's strategic goal and dream, a dream the realization of which started in the 1980s. George Bush decided to invade Afghanistan in order to strengthen its position in the Middle East.
De s'implanter en Asie centrale.
From a geographical point of view, Afghanistan is situated between China, Iran, Russia, and North Korea. A golden position among three troublemaking countries for the US. Among these four countries, Russia, Afghanistan's eastern neighbor, is the most important. Considering the US military bases in countries like Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, and some other newly independent countries on one hand, and countries like Turkey and Cyprus on the other, and also the existence of Israel in the middle of Arab countries, and Japan, which is secretly under the rule of the Far East, Afghanistan's position was like a trump card for gaining supremacy in the region.
So one of the points of being in Afghanistan is to prevent that. In other words, it really is a kind of a hub because of the countries that surround it. Common border with China, many, many other things. It's also concerned with the destruction of Pakistan because that's where that pipeline would go.
One of the chief executives of the Unocal oil company said in 1987, when the Taliban was in power, that the implementation of pipeline contracts was now more likely to succeed if the Taliban leads to stability and international recognition.
They have created conditions to remain in Afghanistan forever. For example, by establishing the Bagram base and three or four big bases, America's control over the country can be guaranteed. The whole thing happens in a poor, divided, and damaged country. The government makes no difference. Drugs are rampant, and the government is corrupt.
Afghans don't want the US in their country. That's why terrorist attacks happen in their country. Anyway, there's no reason for a country to occupy another country. The occupation of Afghanistan should come to an end. People must be allowed to decide for their country. The same problems exist on the other side of the borders in Pakistan. The US has completely occupied that country. They have used Pakistan to occupy Afghanistan. If there is any problem in Pakistan, the US has to be blamed.
At the beginning of the 20th century, the British found themselves trapped in a quagmire called Afghanistan. Then the Russians got stuck there, and now it's Americans' turn. Afghans are a very proud nation, and their country has a system quite different from that of the West. Whenever Russia or the US decided to interfere in Afghanistan's affairs, they had to put their foot in it in the end.
With the emergence of communism, Afghanistan's importance increased in the eyes of both the US and the Soviet Union. For the Soviet Union, the dream of having access to the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz and dispelling the imperialist threat of the US would have been realized through this country. That's why the Russians entered Afghanistan on April 27, 1978, with the help of Nur Muhammad Taraki's coup.
Could pose a most serious threat to the peace since the Second World War. The vast majority of nations on Earth have condemned this latest Soviet attempt to extend its colonial domination of others.
I had to put restraints on the Soviet Union. One of them was to issue a public statement that if the Soviets did invade either Pakistan or Iran, or Iran, out of Afghanistan, that I would consider this a personal threat to the security of the United States of America.
So one of the points of being in Afghanistan is to prevent that. In other words, it really is a kind of a hub because of the countries that surround it. Common border with China, many, many other things. It's also concerned with the destruction of Pakistan, because that's where that pipeline would go.
Loro hanno creato una situazione.
They have created conditions to remain in Afghanistan forever. For example, by establishing the Bagram base and three or four big bases, America's control over the country can be guaranteed. The whole thing happens in a poor, divided, and damaged country. The government makes no difference. Drugs are rampant, and the government is corrupt.
We also ought to remember the United States was never invited by Pakistan to come in there. This was done under the cover of an ultimatum right after 9/11. The ultimatum came from Colin Powell and Richard Armitage. And the ultimatum to President Musharraf at that time was, let us use your airspace and your land transportation or we will bomb you back into the Stone Age. And you have 6 hours to reply. So the U.S. is not an ally of Pakistan. The U.S. is sort of a semi-occupying power.
It's been 13 years since the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. The invasion has been America's longest war and has inflicted numerous problems and costs on the U.S. Of these problems are the spread of extreme Islamism and terrorist attacks, and the weakening of Afghanistan's economic state. It has made the situation even harder for the US and its allies, to such an extent that once Obama called Afghanistan's war harder than the war in Iraq. Meanwhile, Pakistan's tendency towards China, different economic and commercial contracts signed between these two countries, the license China has to use Pakistan's Gwadar port in the Sea of Oman, and ultimately the Chinese closeness to the Persian Gulf and the strategic Strait of Hormuz, are the factors that have worried the US.
Who has allowed the U.S. president to send drones to bomb Pakistan, killing important people there one by one? Has anyone issued their death sentence? Has anyone issued their arrest warrant? Has any international court pressed charges against them? No one has allowed such things. What the U.S. has done only amounts to an obvious violation of international laws.
The region's instability, unfamiliar culture and people, the stigma of occupation, massacre, aggression, suicide operations, and many other issues have raised fears and increased mental pressure among the coalition forces on one hand, and hatred and bitterness among Afghans on the other. A vicious circle added to the losses and casualties on both sides every day. According to the U.S. official reports, the Taliban's attacks against American forces in 2010 increased threefold compared to 2007. Afghan civilian casualties in 2012 also showed a 21% increase compared to 2009, reaching 2,707, and the death of children showed a 21% increase. The killings have increased public hatred of foreign forces, leading to more instability in a country ravaged by war. A poll by the Washington Post shows that 72% of Afghans hate the U.S.
Afghanistan. Sono ancora nel pantano.
They are still stuck in Afghanistan's quagmire. In fact, no one knows what they are waiting for and why they do not leave the country after Bin Laden's supposed death. I'm sure he's dead, but we need to see if he died at the time. I don't know. Maybe they're scared that it will strengthen Iran, or maybe they fear that the Taliban might return. In Afghanistan, the U.S. is still looking for a way out of this crisis after these many years. It's even prepared to negotiate with the Taliban. The situation might be a bit better in Iraq, but it's complicated there as well, and there's even the possibility of a civil war. Even if there's no civil war, the situation will get worse for the U.S., because having no civil war means having a strong central government that is politically close to Iran.
Gary Sick, chief advisor to former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, wrote on his website, "By destroying the Taliban and Saddam, the U.S. in fact destroyed two of Iran's main enemies. This made the U.S. look like the main enemy of the region and increased Iran's influence." The White House entered the region with a unipolar world in mind. But despite having modern weapons and a propaganda empire, it failed to change the situation in its own favor and is now desperately looking for a way out.
It can be said that the U.S. considers itself as the sole power in the world that can decide everything by itself. It's trying to build a unipolar world with the help of its power. That means, as a single pole, the U.S. is trying to impose its way of living on the whole world. That has created a lot of crises across the world. For example, as we can see in Afghanistan, after years of U.S. military presence, no problem has been solved in the country.
The consequences and costs of this war are so great for the former superpower that many experts have compared the Afghanistan war to the Second Vietnam War and believe that the U.S. won't be able to win the war, saying that the war in Afghanistan was initiated by a coalition of 43 countries. The U.S. President, Barack Obama, sees no resemblance between the two. But foreign policy has rejected Obama's view, saying that although only seven U.S. allies took part in the Vietnam War, the number of non-American soldiers that fought at the side of U.S. forces in Vietnam was greater than in Afghanistan. The consequences and costs of this war are so great for the former superpower that many experts have compared the Afghanistan War to the Vietnam War. The situation is not much better in the U.S. administration. The conflicts reached its peak when General McAllister, U.S. Army commander in Afghanistan, was dismissed. In the past 50 years, no U.S. president has ever changed a commander on duty, but Obama did it twice within a period of 14 months.
The 30,000 additional troops that I'm announcing tonight will deploy in the first part of 2010, the fastest possible pace, so that they can target the insurgency and secure key population centers. Now, taken together, these additional American and international troops will allow us to accelerate handing over responsibility to Afghan forces and allow us to begin the transfer of our forces out of Afghanistan in July of 2011.
And beyond the human loss, the United States has now spent more than $223 billion there. In 2010, we'll be spending roughly $65 billion every year. $65 billion a year. The president is just about ready to send more troops, maybe 44,000. That's the number General McChrystal wants and would bring the total to over 100,000. When I read speculation last weekend that the actual number needed might be 600,000, I winced. I can still see Lyndon Johnson's face when the president asked his generals how many years and how many troops it would take to win in Vietnam. One of them answered, 10 years and 1 million. He was right on the time and wrong on the number. 2.5 million American soldiers would serve in Vietnam, and we still lost.
Le bombardement de...
The bombings in Afghanistan, which was a disaster, cost them dearly. These attacks will increase America's budget deficit every day.
After years of war and occupation, today the White House has come to the conclusion that it needs to bury the hatchet with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, a clear indication of the quagmire the U.S. is stuck in Afghanistan. But it is not the only problem that the U.S. faces in Afghanistan.
This is part of the lively debate that we talked about.
The U.S. has to deal with challenges such as its domestic economic crisis, Russia's re-empowerment, and its military, economic, and political growth, the serious threat of North Korea, Japan's economic progress, the unknown fate of the U.S. after the revolutions in Arab countries. All these challenges have created an uncertain future for the world's superpower.
We are certainly witnessing other countries like China and India getting more powerful. Therefore, the world is witnessing the emergence of new poles of power. We have already entered a multipolar world. That's why the U.S. cannot impose itself on the rest of the world, because other poles with interests very different from those of the U.S. have come into being and won't let the U.S. interfere at will and direct everything the way it used to.
Intervenir partout et diriger ses affaires comme elle l'a fait jusqu'à présent.
Americans own the earth. They occupied any country they wanted, changed governments, and did as they pleased. They can't do that anymore.
Adesso non si può più fare così.
We are witnessing the dawn of a new world, a world in which the U.S. that used to control it by bellicose methods holds no power. From now on, the U.S. needs to get used to this new multipolar world.
The U.S. policies in the Middle East have failed. I mean, if you compare today with 20 years ago, they still have the same mindset. They might change their opinion now because they have realized that whenever they enter a country and stay there, they fail eventually. They failed in Vietnam, they failed in Somalia and Lebanon, they lost in Iraq, and now they will lose in Afghanistan as well.
Plymouth.